travel. Say good afternoon and welcome to Youth Unplugged, our program right here on Radio Caribbean International, where we talk to some young people doing some big things. Or should I say old people things? No. Okay, that was a bad joke. I've got to say a special thank you to our sponsor, of course, Bank of St. Lucia. Thank you so much for being a part of that and showing your commitment to youth empowerment and youth and development. We appreciate that. My guest today is the president of the National Youth Council. We may have known him from his very active campaign. Was it a couple of months ago? 3 months ago?
It's already 3 months.
It's about 3 months, yes. Very, very, very vocal and borderline controversial campaign for the Youth Council office. He was victorious. He's going to also talk about some other things that he's doing apart from the Youth Council. Nias, good afternoon and welcome to Youth Unplugged.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Like you say, somebody say, yes, some serious stuff, though. We can talk about some serious stuff. But you know my character, so yeah, yes. We have to make it as entertaining as possible. Nias, tell us a little bit more about yourself, though.
My name is Nias. I am from the community of Choiseul.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Choiseul. Okay.
Choiseul. Mm-hmm. I have been involved in a lot of things over the course of my life. Started off as a student advocate. I did a stint at Bank of St. Lucia, your sponsor, for 5.5 years.
How was that experience? Now they're listening, so you got to be very, very careful what you say.
It was a great experience. Right. I actually don't regret the time that I spent at Bank of St. Lucia. Mm-hmm. Probably spent 2 more years than I had hoped. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. What did you do there?
I started up as a teller, and I ended as a debit card representative.
Oh, okay.
Before I went on to do my own thing, basically.
Okay. Now, let's talk about your childhood. What did you expect to do at a young age? Is it aligned with what you're doing now?
Probably not. When I was in Form 1, I wanted to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. By the time I had moved to Form 3, I wanted to become a lawyer.
Mm, Form 4?
Form 4, I wanted to do probably something that is not what I'm doing right now. But at some point in time, I always knew that I wanted to become involved in youth development. Mm-hmm. Naturally, got involved in youth development from a very early age, probably when I was about 11, 12. And I always knew that I wanted to make a difference. And I got into youth development work as sort of like an escape from a lot of the things that were happening around me. But it ended up being something that I hold very dear to my heart.
True. Yeah. Let's talk about some of the things that have inspired you into to your youth development. Because, you know, we get a lot of flack as being young people, if not being active in some of the policy making, for not being active in decisions made in society. What's your comments on that, your take?
Well, for me personally, I've always been the type of person who, if something is not being done properly, mm-hmm. I'm always vocal. And throughout my life, that has shown. And for me, if I don't like something, my solution would be to try to change it myself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, for example, when I was at Arthur Lewis Community College, where I served as the president of the DAG Student Council, the library was not in good order. The library had mold. What did I do? I organized a strike.
I'm surprised you didn't get expelled. Huh?
Probably was very close to that. But throughout my life, that's what I've done. If it's not going the way that young people probably see that it needs to go, then I try to take some action. And that's what I've done. And that is why I came into the NYC a few years ago. That is why I went up again as the president. So really, that's my motivation.
All right, now, just about three months in, we have so many things that are going on in our society that we think that the youth should be more. Yeah, don't expect it. You knew that was coming. You know, a lot of things are going on in our society that we find that the youth should be more active in. I mean, based on how active and loud you guys were during the campaign, people would say, what has happened now after the campaign? Have you guys been satisfied with getting office and you guys have gone dormant now? What say you on that?
No, definitely not dormant. Mm-hmm. I would say, and it's not blowing my council's horn or anything, but I believe that in these 3 months, the NYC has been more active than the last 2 years combined. Mm-hmm. Because the NYC has made it their priority to actually speak out on an issue. When we spoke about the event that happened in the north, where young people were seen lying on the ground, intoxicated and whatnot, mm-hmm. the NYC received a lot of flak for that. But we found that that was something that we needed to comment on. From the most recent issues at the N Triple Secondary School and in schools across St. Lucia, the NYC has been in the news commenting about these things. The incident that occurred at the correctional facility with the young lady, we have spoken out about that. And we have also spoken out about the issue with Arnold Joseph, the young man that was shot.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as possible, we make it our duty not to be reactive, which happens a lot of the time because some things you cannot foresee it. But as much as possible, we try to be proactive, ensuring that we represent the voices of young people. So there is still a lot that can be done. But for now, we definitely have started on a good foot.
Okay, yeah, true. But one might say that you guys speak out on things happening. What about, let's start implementing... Sorry, I have to go there. What about starting to implement some changes? We have issues with people trying to further their education, the lack of resources to go beyond the tertiary level. If you want to go to university, what's next? We don't have the funds. These are some of the issues that people want to talk about. When you talk about youth, a lot of youth are now going into self-employment. The banks make it so difficult, and I'm glad Bank of St. Lucia is a sponsor because I can talk about this and hope that they could implement some things to assist young entrepreneurs in going into their own businesses. And I think these are some of the conversations. You're smiling because you like that.
I like that.
You like that. And, I mean, for young people, these are the conversations that we want to hear. How's the Youth Council handling that?
Actually, I love the question because it speaks to a lot of what we've been doing so far. As it relates to the whole issue of entrepreneurship, the NYC is actually very involved in Business Month this year. We have our own program coming through at the end of the month, a social entrepreneurship forum that is basically aimed at giving the technical skills to young aspiring entrepreneurs and giving those who already have established businesses basically a platform to on how to use their business for social good. As it relates to education, we do realize that, and that was a big part of our campaign. And recently we met with the ambassador to Cuba, the Cuban ambassador in St. Lucia, and that was one of the things discussed as well. Moving beyond some of the other things that you mentioned, Bank of St. Lucia, of course, has been a big sponsor of the National Youth Council in some of the activities that we've done in the past. The NYC has begun focusing on a lot of the things that we mentioned during our campaign. Key to that was the fact that we needed to try to engage our youth organizations on a grassroots level a bit more. We have begun that. We've gone into Viewfort, we've gone into Shozel and some other communities in trying to establish these grassroots programs that target young people in all areas. We've been very involved in trying to rebuild a lot of the goodwill of the NYC because as much as we want to implement program, we need money.
True.
And in order to get money, we need to ensure that the name of the NYC is one that will, when people hear of the NYC, they will be willing to give. So a lot of that in the initial 3 months have been getting towards that rebuilding goodwill and trying to reach out for resources to implement some of our programming.
Okay. What entices sponsors to come on board? Because I find it difficult to understand from yes, you have your corporate social responsibility, but is that it? And how do sponsors benefit from probably engaging or being part of activities put on by the NYC?
One technique that we've used is that it's not every program that you would target every single sponsor that's available. Every single corporate entity, corporate house, business has a certain level, certain goals that they probably try to accomplish during the course of the year.
Okay.
So as much as possible, we try to align the programs that we do with the goals of whatever sponsor it is that we're going to do. So for example, if Bank of St. Lucia's corporate social responsibility for the year targets young people who are unemployed, if we have a program that targets young people who are unemployed, we of course will reach out to Bank of St. Lucia to try to see if we can get that sort of support, which is what we've done in the past. So it's based on the program that you would reach out to various sponsors.
Amazing. Now, after inheriting the office, like you said, in the past 3 months, you considered your team has done more than in the past 2 years. How much cleaning did you have
in terms of advocacy?
Advocacy.
Yeah,
let me make sure.
Remember, I was part of the last council.
Yes. Yeah, so let me make sure I get it. But did you find it difficult to now, you know, assume the mantle of president in comparison to your previous role with the NYC?
I think the transition was a bit seamless because I did serve previously as the first vice president.
Okay.
And in Maryland's first vice president, I was very involved in the day-to-day management of the NYC in terms of programming and whatnot. And as you would have seen from our team, because we won a clean slate, all of our candidates won for the NYC elections. Mm-hmm. You had two persons, our first vice president and our second vice president, amazing young people who had served on the previous executive. And we brought in four other members of youth organizations within St. Lucia who had already been working with the NYC. So it was not new to them. So when we did assume the office, it was pretty much seamless moving from there.
Nice. The NYC, what's next? What can we expect from the NYC? What's going to set your administration, for lack of a better word, different from the previous one?
I would say that there are a lot of big things coming. Of course, we have to wait until we get some of the resources in order to confirm a lot of things. But for sure, we have the Social Entrepreneurship Forum coming up at the end of this month. We have Youth Parliament coming up in February. And Youth Parliament is going to be the most amazing Youth Parliament experience that you've witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking to take Youth Parliament to a whole new level in terms of actually discussing serious bills that we can pitch to the actual Parliament. Unlike other years, we're going to start training this month to ensure that young people are versed enough in terms of the ethics of Parliament, in terms of the rules of Parliament. So we're going to do that. So look out for Youth Parliament in February. We have the third Youth Caribbean Youth Conference happening in April.
Okay.
It has been very successful over the past 2 years, where we bring in, because a lot of the time we have young people traveling to some of these conferences, but these are only available to a few young people. So we actually want to bring that whole experience to St. Lucians, to as many St. Lucians as possible. So bring in outstanding young people from across the Caribbean, give young St. Lucians an opportunity to be able to network properly. So we have that coming on. We have hopefully the Opening Doors of Opportunities program. Wow. That would target young people at the community level who are unemployed, who are looking for ways in which to build themselves both professionally and personally, using sports. So hopefully we get that on the ground this year. And of course, a lot of the other programs that we have, programs targeting young women, young vulnerable young women. We're really excited about
it. Yeah, let me tell you, I can see the excitement in your eyes. And of course, when it comes to sports specifically, you have your passion for that, which we will get into in a little bit. I just want to just make a little kind of pecan there. Mm-hmm. You said you're going to be teaching the people about the etiquette of the house. They should probably give some of the people in power that same kind of, you know.
That's the plan.
Yeah,
see us, they actually know that.
Yeah, the proper decorum of the house.
Yes.
Yeah, because they need it. talking about that. How closely does the Youth Council work with the actual government itself? Is it sort of like you guys are considered to be a serious institution where they'd come to you guys and say, let's discuss this with you. We want to implement this. What do your young people have to say? Or is it a situation where that you hear stuff, you hear bills going to be passed, and you realize, okay, this is going to negatively impact the young people, and then you guys go and reach out to them and say, hey, Honorable Minister, we disagree with X, Y, Z. How does that work? I've never been sure.
Okay, so in terms of the government reaching out, that does not really happen. Of course, there would be some sort of consultation happening somewhere that young people would be invited to sit in a workshop. That happens here and there. But in terms of actual policy, for example, the whole issue of the ban on corporal punishment, the NYC was never involved in that discussion. And certain other things that are happening in society where the NYC is not involved. So that is where a lot of the advocacy comes in. When things happen that the NYC is pleased with or not pleased with, we would be able to go out there. But that being said, we have developed quite a close relationship with the Ministry of Youth Development and Sports, where they've actually made a very good effort to engage the NYC in a lot of the programming that is happening. For example, as it relates to the planning of Youth Month, the Ministry of Youth Development and Sports has seen the NYC or has basically engaged with us as a key partner in terms of the planning of Youth Month 2020. So we're really appreciative of that particular ministry on the way in which that they've basically brought us on and they've engaged us. So that is definitely positive for us.
That's really good. And I'm hoping to see more of this, synergy between the actual government and the youth council to make things happen. Based on that synergy between government and the youth council, how difficult it is to not to become like a partition based and say, well, I'm my party side, go do that, that kind of thing. How difficult it is to ensure that your focus is strictly on youth issues and not biased towards your political affiliations?
That has always been a concern, and like I've said, the only part of government I would say that we so far have enjoyed a seamless relationship with is the Ministry of Youth Development and Sports. As the NYC, our sole purpose is to represent the collective voices of young people. And everything that is happening in St. Lucia, as it relates to that, the NYC will be vocal. If there is something that is happening against the best interests of young people, we will speak out, regardless of who is in power, regardless of who exactly is making the decisions, we will speak out. Likewise, if something is happening that is good, we will ensure that, you know, we speak about it, and we speak to young people about the benefits of such programming. Mm-hmm. So you can be guaranteed that this NYC will be one that is objective, that we will speak based on the facts at hand, and there will be no sort of bias towards any political party, whether it be government or opposition, because at the end of the day, our business is young people.
Amen. I agree with that. And I hope that that's something that is echoed throughout your entire board, cabinet, administration,
executive administration.
Any plans for you to go into actual politics?
No, I know the question.
After this, but why not? I mean, you've taken such an interest now from a level of young people, but the automatic next level is to be at a national level. Why not?
I'm hoping that in the next few years that I'll be able to groom as many young people, because succession planning has been something that has been very lacking in terms of youth development in St. Lucia. So I'm hoping that through our efforts that we're able to groom a lot of young people who will take up these responsibilities.
Yes.
But as of me personally, I don't have any aspirations to go out into politics at all. I think of it as something where
you
go in clean and you come out
dirty.
Not clean. I wouldn't say dirty. I'd say not clean. But the path that I've set out for my life, it does not involve politics at this point in time.
Okay.
That can change 20 years from now. I don't know. But at this time, there are no aspirations.
Nice. Just apart from the National Youth Council, you must be doing something else, because let's face it, doing something with such passion doesn't necessarily pay the bills.
It doesn't at all.
You work for yourself. Let's talk a little bit about that. How did that happen, and what is it that you do?
Okay, so I was at the Bank of St. Lucia a few years ago, and while I was at the bank, I started my own social enterprise with a very good friend of mine, Yanoi Favre. And we started off basically because both of us had a passion for sports, and we realized that young people were actually not being given the platform to showcase their talent. So we decided to start the organization Sport AV. And Sport AV started off as a brand to basically give exposure to young people and help link them with opportunities for development, whether it be through scholarships or through getting them recognized by coaches and schools abroad. So we did that for a little while until I found that I could not do both Bank of St. Lucia and Sport AV, so I decided to take the leap and go into it full-time. Sport AV, over the years, we've worked with a lot of young athletes in St. Lucia in terms of giving that exposure. We've worked with a number of media houses in terms of bringing out the message. We worked with Winners TV on a program. We've worked with Dazzle Magazine. We did almost a year with Choice TV. We've maintained a good relationship with Choice TV ever since. So it's all about getting that sort of exposure to young people. Over the past year, in 2018, I received the Wildlife Fellowship, the Young Leaders of America Fellowship by the U.S. State Department, where I actually got the opportunity to go to the U.S. and to actually shadow one of the successful companies in the U.S. as it relates to sports.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I did that, and I was paired with a U.S.-based nonprofit called Hyperthletics. And they basically do similar things with Sport AV, but it's basically about social development through sports. So after that, Hyperthletics, they came down to St. Lucia, and we've been working together ever since. So right now, Sport AV, we are, I wouldn't say going on a pause, but you know when they say minor setback for major comeback.
Right.
We're trying to see how best we can merge the two ideas to basically benefit young St. Lucians in sports as much as possible. So that's a project that's going on right now in terms of trying to merge the ideas of sport RV and hyperthletics moving forward.
It's really pretty amazing that you, whatever you do is still so much aligned. You have that serious drive and passion for advancement and youth advancement in St. Lucia. And this is the kind of people we need at the helms of the Youth Council. These are the kind of people we need at the helms of the office. So there's no reason why, Mr. Nice Alfred, that you are not considering a political career later on in life.
Like I said, you do not know what's possible 20 years from now, but immediately the aspirations are not that. Of course, I have been involved in some way in the past in terms of trying to get young people involved in the political process, because I do believe at the end of the day that our voice is very critical, because we basically are the ones responsible for ensuring that the people who are actually in the office basically represent our voices. And that happened at the last election and elections before that, where the voices of young people ultimately are the ones who matter, and the voices of young people are the ones that will matter come 2021 when we're expecting general elections.
It's pretty cool because, like I said, whoever gets that millennial vote this year is going to win the next election. So.
And we're going to make sure that whoever wins the millennial vote is working on behalf of the best interests of the youth.
So when you have politicians going on the platform and criticizing administrations for using social media, it's quite disappointing, eh? Especially from a party you support. But that's another conversation on its own. Let's talk.
And before you go, I will tell you that for sure that this NYC is going to call out both parties to ensure that young people actually know what they're voting for.
Yeah.
So we're going to call out for debates publicly so that the various parties can go up against, I wouldn't say go up against each other, but actually be in a platform where they can tell young people what they want to see for St. Lucia moving forward. So definitely, I cannot say whether or not the parties will agree or disagree.
That's the problem.
But we will call out for that.
And you know what? And I hope that you publicly state that we called out XYZ and they said no. You need to be public. Because we need to start changing the atmosphere, our political atmosphere, and trying to let them know, hey, we that in control, not y'all. And I'm hoping, and I stand behind the Youth Council, especially if you guys are going in that direction. Now, let's talk about Sport RV. Yeah. What are some of the challenges you faced when you decided, hey, let me take that leap full in, that's what I'm doing. What are some of the challenges that you face?
There are some of the challenges that still exist. Initially, the whole challenge was in terms of funding, because when I realized that I needed to basically make a choice, I was left with the unfortunate situation of deciding, you know, do I need to eat cricks and butter for about 2 years in order to try to save, so that when I actually do take the leap, that actually have a sponge to land on.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, go went ahead and I did that. And
did what? Like actually eating the cricks and butter for
actually eating the, not the cricks and butter, but you know, living at a being very frugal.
Frugal is a proper word.
To ensure that I saved enough to do that, I did that. Because we're a social enterprise, a lot of the funds that we raise actually go back into the development of the young people. We know that if we want to, a young person comes to us and says that they want us to do a profile for them because they have some university who's looking out for them, we need to ensure that we do that. In order to do that, we need the latest equipment. So over the years, we've spent a lot of money in terms of buying equipment. I wouldn't say that it is exactly profitable.
Yes, that's my next question. How do you make money? Because it's such a social responsibility. Basically, how do you make money of this, and how can you survive, bro? How are you making a salary?
So let me tell that is one of the main concerns. Yes, the revenue does come in as little as it may be, but it is enough to ensure that the bills can be paid, and to ensure that we actually give back to the young people. Because like I said, and I've continuously said in the past, that has always been my passion. And like I told you before we even started, you know, I have a plan set for my life, and in terms of youth development, I see a retirement coming in the next 2 years. But I want to ensure that regardless of what happens, that I'm able to build as many young people as possible to take up that mantle, to take up Sport RV, to take up the NYC, so that, you know, when I actually go out there, and because one of my greatest goals in life is to work for an organization like the United Nations. You understand? So all of that is basically, I would say, a precursor towards doing all that. So I need to start building young people as possible. So I don't mind right now
making the sacrifice.
Making the sacrifice, because I know at the end of the day it will pay off.
When you get your 20,000 US a month thing, you're smiling. I understand. And it's pretty good that you're at such a young age that you know what you're focused on. You know exactly what you want to do. And you're ensuring that every decision that you make is aligned towards that. Because I know when they ask for your resume and you send that resume,
it's 5 pages long.
And they say, oh, okay, everything is aligned. So it's a pretty good choice. Now, we have young people who listen every week, and they use this platform as a way to inspire them to develop. Mm-hmm. Of course, every story is different, and yours is truly different from everybody else's. And it shows the power of putting your mind to something and being focused and ensuring that all your ducks aligned. That's pretty amazing. Give some young people right now listening some advice on how they could ensure that whatever they do is aligned with the end game.
I would say that there needs to be a plan, because my plan, I set it up in motion many, many years ago when I was at secondary school in Choiseul, and I've always known that I wanted to do one thing. There will always be a lot of hurdles along the way, but the character of somebody shows when you're able to overcome a lot of these challenges.
Yes.
So for young people, I'd say that there is a need to get involved in things outside of what you actually normally do. For example, a young professional who works at a bank, who works as a lawyer, there is so much that can be gained from actually getting involved, ensuring that you give back to a community organization, you give back to a center who cares for young people, or a center who cares for the elderly. So that sort of volunteerism, it speaks volumes. And that is something that when at the end of the day you're giving your resume out there to someone who is a potential employer, that actually speaks more than the grades that are on that resume. So I encourage young people to give back. The NYC, our doors are always open to guide young people, to counsel young people as to how they can basically set themselves up for very promising futures.
All right. Nice. Now, we're just about out of time. We always use this opportunity as we end the interview to allow people to get your contact information so that they can get in contact with you, get in contact with the Youth Council and Sport AV. I know you said it's on a slight pause for a bit, but I know there are some people who might have the ability to be the next Laverne Spencer, the next Darren Sammy, the next Jonathan Charles. These people are listening right now, and you might have the avenues to assist them to get towards that. Please give them the information on how to get in contact.
Okay, in terms of Sport AV, you can reach us on Facebook, Sport AV, SportAVIS. Long story, I can probably tell you some other time about how we came up with that name. In terms of the NYC, you can reach us via email at nyc.stlucia@gmail.com. That's S-A-I-N-T. You can, of course, reach me via telephone, 7280259. I respond much quicker to email than WhatsApp, because at any given point in time, I probably have at least 200 unread WhatsApp messages.
Don't WhatsApp.
Or more. I will respond at some point, but I always like to give a bit of a disclaimer, three to five working days.
Wow.
You can also reach me via email, niasalfred@gmail.com.
Okay.
So anywhere you contact me, I'm always willing to and able to assist. The NYC is always willing and available to assist.
Nice, Alfred. Thank you so much for stopping by our studios, Youth Unplugged, right here on Radio Caribbean International, brought to you the kind compliments of Bank of St. Lucia. Youth Unplugged.